May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 962. Come, dearest Lord, and melt my heart, thy animating power impart, blessed source of life divine. Jesus, thy love alone can give the will to rise, the power to live, for every grace is thine. 962.
Thank you. Let us read from the sacred pages of God's Word, from Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 1. 1 Corinthians 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptize none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I have baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I have baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, The world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty, eternal, holy, holy Lord God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, oh, may we be found in the Spirit on the Lord's day, in thy lower house, in the sanctuary of Zion. Be pleased to be in our midst, and do thou reveal thyself unto dying sinners, unto thy people. Do thou draw us by thy love and grace this day. We stand in awe of thy majesty, and it behoves us to, as sovereign God that gives no account of his dealings in the ages of time, a holy God hating sin, iniquity, a just God dealing with us according to thy purpose, may it be a purpose of grace. Lord, a merciful God, a gracious God, a God of love, as made known to whom as many as thou wilt call, and to whom thou hast chosen. May we be found among them, drawn, Lord, by thy grace and love. May we humble ourselves under thy mighty hand in all things. Deliver us, we pray thee, from all distracting thoughts. May we be found in the rock Christ Jesus. Help us to fall into thy hands in all things. We come to thee this morning hour to worship. May we find in our heart that gladness to gather. May we be found in all humility and submission to fall into thy hands. Oh, to know thee. Blessed, unspeakable safety, glory, love of the covenant. Dear Lord, do draw us now. We do thank thee for this hour of worship. We do thank thee for the house of God. We do thank thee for the throne of grace. We do thank thee for thy gospel. We do thank thee for thy mercy and love toward us. We do bow now, we would see Jesus. Help us to leave everything aside in religion and to know nothing but Jesus and him crucified for me. A risen, exalted Saviour, now at the right hand of the Father. Oh, do help us to press toward that mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Thus we come, Lord, with singleness of eye and heart and desire, and a mercy if it is. Save us from that singleness. Grant us that singleness of heart. Save us from that double eye. O Lord, that, and also from having that form of godliness without the power, to draw near to God with our heart, but with our words, with our mind, but to have our heart and affections elsewhere. Dear Lord, we do come with gladness and thankfulness to thy house. Do bless us. Thou knowest each gather. Eternity is very near. None of us know what a day or an hour we'll bring forth. Young and old alike, children, babes, none of us know. Prepare us, Lord, prepare us. And do draw us to the wounded side of the Lamb. Do grant that we may be found at the Redeemer's feet every day, morning, lunchtime, afternoon, evening, night seasons. What a mercy to have our hearts drawn to the Son of God. Oh, invaluable. It will take eternity to reveal the blessedness that God is, and eternity for saved souls to praise and love thee. But now do show thyself. Thou knowest how we've come. Maybe those in distress, maybe those with heavy, solemn matters upon them, unable now to deal with anything, brought low. Others, Lord, may be brought in deep exercise of soul. Or there might be many, give me Christ, or else I die. Maybe those gathering amongst us in thankfulness and praise, in wonderment of thy goodness. But, O Lord Jesus, may it be one of the days of the Son of Man on earth. We may hear the voice of our beloved. So hear us now. O Lord, do send forth the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, blessed Holy Ghost, God the Holy Ghost, be in our midst. Bring forth the riches of peace, joy, love, atonement, personal to our soul. May some soul know they are loved with an everlasting love. May another be confirmed Thou wilt never leave them nor forsake them. May we turn and behold thee as Mary weeping at the open sepulchre. Oh, do reveal thyself, and may we behold him whom our soul loveth. We confess our sins. We need to. We utterly abhor ourselves in dust and ashes. Thou knowest those that do and those that don't. But Lord, do bless thy people who mourn and grieve over their sins and their destitutions. Do bless thy waiting people. Remember us in Zion, remember us this day. Bless the friends at home, be with them. Help thy servant. Remember thy servants that come here to preach the gospel. Grant her, thus saith the Lord. Undertake for this house of prayer. Let thy work appear. Dear Lord, remember all our aged friends. Visit them, bless them, prepare, comfort them. One laid aside in much weakness, visit her soul and bless her. And others we may not know of. Remember all in affliction, pain, suffering. Put forth thy healing hand. Remember our younger friends. Bless the Sunday school. Bless the dear children, the sweet babes. May they be heirs of glory. May thy word follow them. Remember each in mercy, those going forth in life, in business, study. Bless them, prosper them. Open thy hand and provide for them. So, Lord, we come to thee. Bless this house. Remember the church, the congregation, the deacons. Bless thy servants on the walls of Zion. The editors of our magazines, secretaries of our societies, bless them in their labours. Return in power and in ministry. O Lord, forsake us not, O God. Lord, and where thy people meet, may they be drawn from around, those to come and inquire, those in soul need. Remember thy one spiritual Israel in this land and through the earth, thy people in deprivation, affliction, war, persecution, genocide. Bless the missionaries where thy name is feared, thy word is read. Bless thy people. Have mercy on England. We thank thee for thy mercies to us in years past. O Lord, especially as this day of called of remembrance. But O Lord, we've utterly forsaken thee. God, be merciful to us. It's a mercy to have a praying remnant in the land. And we do thank thee there are those who fear not, who have not bowed the knee to Baal nor worshipped him. O Lord, do appear for England. Open the eyes of our leaders. Deliver us from their treachery and dragging their feet over Brexit. Oh, deliver us, Lord, from the enemies within. The establishment, the corrupt, liberal, lying establishment. Oh, Lord, have mercy on thy people. Have mercy on this land. Guilty land, wicked land. But all favour us with the gospel still. Hear the cry of the remnant. Remember our Queen. Undertake for us on the throne when she is gone. Lengthen out our Protestant heritage, still our civil religious liberties, freedom to worship. We do thank thee for thy mercies, Lord. Helps, answers to prayer, preservation. Dost not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. We do bless thee for thy mercies and thy goodness and thy kindness. But Lord, those spiritual mercies, our great high priest in heaven, thy rich, atoning, life-giving blood, thy life given as a ransom, taken up again, now appearing in heaven, preparing that place for worms of the earth. Oh, to be with thee. We do thank thee for thy kindness. The throne of grace, the doors of Zion open, surrounded with mercies and comforts. Oh, we stand in awe. We acknowledge. But Lord, save us from ungrateful, unmindful spirit. Open our eyes to see how good thou art. Now, Lord, what wait we for? Hope is in thee. Anything we may have omitted to ask, do make up in giving. Holy Spirit, be doing our midst. Holy Father, we stand in awe of the wonders of thy provision. And what a mercy thou hast caused some of us all to cleave to him and fall down at his feet. May we know the fullness of thy love in him. Oh, we ask all things in his name and for his sake. Blessed Jesus, Son of God, Son of David, plead thy name before the throne. Come, come, Lord Jesus, come, come. Amen.
Hymn 1119. Jesus, thou almighty Saviour, prostrate at thy feet I lie, humbly I entreat thy favour, condescend to hear my cry. 1119.
Thank you.
in complete dependence upon the Lord for his blessing, I will call your attention to Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, in chapter 2 and verse 2. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul, in that first chapter, speaks of him being sent to preach the gospel, and that is the gospel to the poor, to the needy, to the dying, those who need a gospel. In God's amazing grace, there were those awakened who did not need the gospel. Salvation had come to their house. The point is, whether you need the gospel or not, the salvation coming to your home, to your life. The dear apostle had great success at Corinth, the very wicked city. And his ministry was blessed. Amazingly blessed. But when he departed, those who had confessed Christ, been brought to Christ, fell into complete disarray. When he preached among them, he says, concerning his preaching, we preach Christ crucified. They received the gospel. And when he departed, some among them, not all, but some, fell into open sin. But it does appear that many of them were divided. How common. What a common thing today. What happened in Corinth has happened down through the churches since. I am of Christ. Well, we're all going to say that, aren't we? You've got your favourite minister. You've got this special exercise about someone. You've got this, that and the other. I tell you, friend, we need eternity to be brought to our mind. We shall soon be there. Here's Christ crucified. I have Paul, I have Cephas, I have Apollos. Is Christ divided? You know, the same gospel that he preached when he went, he wrote in this epistle. And he speaks of his preaching as he opens up this second chapter, although he didn't write it as a second chapter. It's been ordered since, of course. But in chapter 2, he says, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Not excellency of speech. We understand that Paul was short in stature. We understand also there was possibly a slight weakness in his speech of some form. When he took Barnabas, it seems that Barnabas often spoke as well. So what made Paul's preaching so blessed? So blessed. the Holy Spirit alone. And as that Spirit, Holy Spirit, blessed the word of the gospel to our hearts, and how much has it done so? Not once. You couldn't live on the manna in the desert very long. The next day, as they stored it over in unbelief and to test God, so it bred worms. In other words, corruption. He might have had a blessing a long time ago, but look at the corruptions that arise. It's the fresh manna. Has Christ been made precious to your soul? Is he now? Is he next week? That you don't know. But if you're after him, he will be. He will be. For the Son of God said, "Seek and ye shall find." We don't believe it. Knock and it shall be opened. But this dear Apostle Paul was among them in weakness, fear and trembling. Why? He knew he was a sinner. He knew his corruptions. The Apostle Paul did not fall into open corruption and sin like these his converts were. Not his converts, but Christ's dear people whom he loved. Blessed under his preaching. Paul did not do that. But if you look into his epistles, he discovers his wretchedness within. He's carrying those sins in his heart. When I would do good, evil is present with me, and so forth. But when the Lord met him, what an awakening. He was hailing men and women, as we know, to prison, hating them, hating the name of Christ. It's a wonderful thing here, you know. Saul, Saul, why persecute thou me? Me, me, says the Son of God, direct to his heart. Who do you hate? Who do you despise of God's people? Who do you look down on? Who do you criticize? Are you the judge? All men have got weakness. All men are sinners. His dear people whom he has died for and called and quickened, and they're poor pilgrims following him. They're the apple of his eye. They're the apple of his eye. He died for them. He's redeemed them. Why persecutest thou me? So you see, whether you be Paul or Apollos or anyone else, or dear Peter Cephas, beloved Peter, is Christ crucified among us? When he wrote to the Galatians, again, the churches in Asia Minor there, that northern region of Turkey, you know, the apostle had to take them up. They were going back under the law. The simplicity of the gospel, they'd received it. But now they were trying to work something, trying to be something, trying to please God, going back to the ceremonies. Perhaps they weren't altogether falling back into legality, but they were adding the ceremonies. Not at all. The traditions of the fathers. Friend, it's the pure milk of the words that will keep your soul alive. Of the grace of God in the face of Jesus Christ, his love and his mercy to you. What has reached your heart? Are you continuing in those things? Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. It's not an excuse. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord. Take and seal it. Seal it from thy courts above. A living soul will come back to that. Here's my heart, Lord. My times are in thy hand. Into thy hands I fall. Redeem thou me, O God, Lord God of truth. But to the Galatians he said, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that she did not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you. Well, he wasn't visibly, literally crucified in Galatia. But the eyes of their understanding were enlightened. The eyes of their understanding, not literal eyes, not the eyes I'm looking at you with, or you're looking at me, of the understanding were enlightened with the simplicity of mercy, mercy, free mercy. In the sacrifice of the dear Redeemer, a visit of the soul by the Holy Ghost to open up the truths that Paul preached, that this is the Messiah, but personally received. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Her sins, which are many, are all forgiven, washed away in the fountain of his blood. Blessed is he that believed, she believed, there shall be performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. He wrote that, did he not? This only would I receive among you, learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or the hearing of faith? Living faith. The hearing of faith, the gift of God. Well, that was Paul's preaching to the dear Corinthians, the church, falling into disarray, arguing, taking to law, solemn things happening as well. Sins prevail, the old sins of the flesh coming back. Still the same gospel. Still he reminds them of the same gospel. And backsliding soul, it's the same gospel. And the same love and grace that took hold of you at the beginning will take hold of you again, and there's no change and no difference in God. And his grace and his mercy. For I determined not to know anything among you, he says, save Jesus Christ. And him crucified. You know, the cross of Christ, the crucifixion of Christ, the death of Christ, is the foundation of our hope. It's a foundation laid in the soul. Because there can be no reconciliation to God without it. But his people live upon a risen Christ. A resurrected Christ, an ascended Christ in this gospel day. We live upon him. And it's because of that resurrection and overcoming of death that he's visited your soul. On the first resurrection morn as a type, a lively type. Well, it was a fullness, not just a type. It was a fullness, but what I meant to say was it was showing forth a glory. That he visited his loved ones on that day of his resurrection. Peter, well, first Mary Magdalene, then Peter, then on the road to Emmaus, and then the women, and then the disciples in the room, the 10 disciples in the room, Thomas missing. Christ and him, but resurrected. Paul says in Romans, who is he that condemneth? Saul this morning, who is he that condemneth? Well, let us search our hearts. Are you 100% pure? Are you always right? Do you know your heart, your corruptions? Look at complacency in religion. Look at unwillingness of spiritual exercise. Look at inertia concerning the throne. It's a great mercy. Friend, when the Lord revives, when he brings you back forth again to his dear feet, you'll ever be wanting in the morning, lunchtime, afternoon, evening, during the night, to the throne of grace. where your Jesus is. Your risen, risen Lord, crucified once, crucified, crucified one. For I determined to, I was starting to quote Paul in Romans, who is he that condemneth? Dear friend, we need a little bit of that sometimes to bring us as suppliants to his dear feet. To bring us afresh with that childlike spirit to discover his mercy is still the same. Or may we be found among those who go on in the pilgrimage below to discover the depths of the riches of his love towards you personally, towards you personally, still continuing, discovering more. The love doesn't get deeper. It's a glorious, deep, unspeakable love that redeemed us. We only discover it more and more, and it's a mercy if you do. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. There's the foundation, you see. Yea, rather, he said, there's the building, there's the bliss, there's the life, risen again. Yea, rather, is risen again. Because I live, ye shall live also. But here we have the foundation. What are your sins? Now, I'm not saying Swaps is like Corinth. I have no idea. I come here once or twice, I know, but a year, but I have done so far. But I don't know anything about you as a church or congregation. In fact, very little, and I'm pleased I don't. But the Lord knows. And Paul, in this writing, why does he bring this forth about his first determination? Because he's still determined to know nothing among them save Jesus Christ and him crucified. So Christ crucified. What does it mean to us this morning? What does it mean, Christ crucified? No heaven, no blessing without him. Has it been made known to us? Is it exceedingly precious? Friend, do you need it? Are you pressing to the throne of grace to have that blessing bestowed upon you? To behold him by living faith? To know him as your Lord and your God? Now think of his crucifixion. The horrors his soul entered into, the dear Redeemer. The wrath of God, his Father upon him, because our sins were laid to him, charged to him, and God could not look upon even his only begotten Son in his humanity. With our sins charged to him, he must look away. It's a deep mystery, I know. I'll just add this, that divinity can never be entered into and can never change. The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost were three in union forever. The wonder was there. That break forth, the divinity of Christ sustained him. But upon the man Christ Jesus, their suffering on the cross, there the Father had to turn away and hide his face as the wrath was poured upon the dear, his only begotten Son manifest in the flesh. To make atonement for our sin, to satisfy justice. I don't want to be theoretical. How's your heart moved? Let's get personal. My sins, friend. Those sins that stare me in the face. Those sins that the Lord is bringing me to book four. Those sins unknown. How you long to know that this holy Lamb of God, the Holy One, the Holy One, suffered for my sin. Ask your question. Do you know anything of this Jesus suffering for your sin? You say, look, is this really important? Do I need to know this? Can't I just be a believer? Can't I just look to Jesus' cross and I can imagine Jesus dying there for me? I'm a believer, so I believe in him. I believe in my sins. Wait a minute. Do you hate your sins? Or do you keep turning to them? Are you forsaking them in love to him? Do they lay heavily upon you, groaning? Oh, wretched man that I am, says the apostle. Wretched man. Wretched man. Someone groaned last week. Wretched man. Why have I done this again? But I have. That's because of the weakness of the flesh. For your soul desires to serve in unity of heart and in love. The law of God, the law of liberty. Friend, love, one word is in this text. The love of God, which passeth knowledge. The love of Christ, which passes all understanding. One word is written over this text. Love, love, eternal love, quickening love, awakening love, keeping love. Love to bring forth to glory at last. One word is over this text this morning. Love. Now, if Christ has been crucified for you, that scene will be exceeding precious to your soul in due time. And you will be drawn in love to him. Love to him. Love to him. A willingness. Friend, it's called constraining grace. As Lot lingered outside Sodom, so the angel took hold of him. As the angel of the Lord has grace ever taken hold of you. Why you linger? Why you linger? Constrain you. Constrain you. Dear friend, it's not just a scene of someone dying. It's your only hope. A merciful, glorious, divine person, a real man, a saviour to save you from wrath, fear, destruction, judgment, the sorrows you're in at the present time, to deliver you out of the trials you're in, or to bring you to a higher plane, to bring you up to him by living faith, determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. Are you drawn here? Paul, look, I'm not asking you to explain all the details of the passion of Christ as if you've got to attain to something. Has the sweetness and the mercy touched your heart? Has your heart ever been drawn and ravaged to that dear, or that I might know him more, or that I might hear from him more, or that I might behold him, or that I might see him by living faith? You see, dear friends, what did he suffer for? To answer for our sins. So there has to be some knowledge of our sins, does there? Yes. I don't know how precious Jesus would be to you if you weren't made a sinner. The mind boggles at the thought. How can you speak of Christ being made precious to you when you don't even know your sins or half of them? But the Lord teaches us step by step. O Son of Man, says Ezekiel, turn, look at Jerusalem, see greater abominations. Do you know it? What does it do for you? Makes you weep after this precious, risen, exalted Saviour in heaven, who still bears the marks of the cross in glory. Speak, Lord. Come, Lord. Christ and Him crucified. We have in that blessed hymn now, I want to try and change my thoughts a little bit if I can. Jesus, thus for sinners smitten, wounded, bruised, serpent bitten, to his cross directs their faith. Why should I then poison cherish? Why despair of cure and perish? Look, my soul, though stung to death. Thine's, alas, a lost condition. Works cannot work thee remission, nor thy goodness do thee good. Death's within thee, all about thee. It is. Have you had that discovery? When Jesus said to his dear disciples in those last discourses, without me you can do nothing, have you ever felt the truth of that? Without his grace, I could never be drawn to him. Without his work in my soul, without that grace working in me, I could never be saved, I could never believe. It's not a natural believing. We've all got natural believing. This is believing unto eternal life. Death's within thee, all about thee. But the remedies without thee, see it in the Saviour's blood. This is where we want leading. See the Lord of glory dying. Don't you want to? Oh, don't you want to again? Wouldn't it cause you to sing on the mountaintops, on the hilltops, on the treetops? See the Lord of glory dying for me. See him gasping. Hear him crying. My sins, my sins, my sins, my sins. My sins. My pride, my rebellion, my forgetfulness, my heart wanderings, my backslidings, my independence. Those things done I can't put right. Jesus can. They'll be put right. Crooked, what did John the Baptist preach? Crooked made straight, rough places made plain. See him gasping, hear him crying, see his burdened bosom heave. Look, ye sinners, ye that hung him, look how deep your sins have stung him. Dying sinners, look and live. It's the gospel with life and power by the Holy Ghost. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened to be led here. Now there will be an effect upon us. Friends, this isn't just one experience. Once, if this blessed scene is set before us, It will be a life following him to the end, to glory. It must be. That is why the dear apostle, he says some strange things which I, very sadly, these things aren't understood among us, you know, anymore. They used to be, but they're not now. It's very sad. But am I among them who are willing? Friend, there's an unwillingness in me in everything concerning spiritual things, concerning the old flesh dislikes the way. We can be sentimental about that, but it opposes Christ. Your nature, old nature, opposes the blessing and grace of God. Do you know that? It's a new heart given, a new desire that loves him, longs for him, goes out to him, looks for him, waits for him, trusts him, casts your care upon him, sinks into his everlasting arms. He said, did he not? But God forbid that I should glory. Now the Corinthians were glorying, weren't they? The Corinthians were glorying. But he had to put them down, didn't he, the apostle? God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of Jesus Christ my Lord. And he gives a reason and experience in your life. By whom? By Christ being crucified. The world is crucified unto me. The love of it. And I unto the world. Friend, and the only way you'll begin to loathe and depart from the world is when Christ is made precious in his suffering for you. That's what Paul is saying. How could you leave the world? I can't, unless I've got a reason to. Some glorious attraction. An exalted, risen Redeemer who suffered for me. And that makes me willing to bear a personal crucifixion upon my will, what I want. My will must be crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Now the apostle says in that Galatians again, and this is again connected and often understood. I, he says, am crucified with Christ. Well, hang on, Paul, you weren't, because you're a Pharisee at Gamaliel's feet when Jesus was being crucified and so forth and whatever. No, he means spiritually. When Jesus died, Paul was upon Christ's heart to redeem. He knew his sheep. He knew his sheep. And they weren't all of the Jews. Other sheep have of another fold. These are the Gentiles. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. That affects us in our time. We're going to Christ. He that cometh to me are no wise cast out. When the dear Redeemer died, he made an atonement for all the sins of his people, knowing all his people. Remember, in his divine nature, he has no dimensions. Complete fullness at the atonement. The church redeemed. Victory for them. Paul discovered this preciousness. I am crucified with Christ. Crucified with Christ. Now, of course, there is a spiritual meaning here, which the chapter 2 concludes with. And he says concerning that law which he was serving, which he was going to heaven because he was trying to, and I haven't got time to go into this now, but in Philippians he brings it forth, in Philippians 3, I will just quickly turn to it. Though I might have also confidence in the flesh, if any other thinketh that he have whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. That's religious flesh. That means his outward religion, his chapel going, his devotions, his duties. Every Sunday, every time the doors of Zion open, I'm there. That's some people's religion, you know. Only grace makes the difference. Don't think you're better if you think you've gone on from that. Only grace makes the difference. And only grace will keep you different. Thou might also have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. See it all? Israel, tribe of Benjamin, they were one with Judah, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, it's touching the law of Pharisee. Concerning zeal, he persecuted. Persecuted the church, of course. He didn't know that at the time. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Only to discover he wasn't. He wasn't blameless. But he thought he was. He thought he was. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss from Christ. All by grace means nothing to Paul. It'll mean nothing to you. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I might win Christ. Be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. Christ's righteousness revealed, given to the church, freely given to the church. The Lord our righteousness, preaches Jeremiah, is Jesus your righteousness. He'll only be your righteousness if he put away your sin, if you were crucified at Calvary like Paul was with him. On that day when he yielded up the ghost, commended his spirit to his Father. And if that were so, you'll be seeking him now, and you will find him before you die. Do you know that? If you're a living soul, you'll find him before you die. And if you've ever known him, you'll go to heaven. Whatever state you're in now, I'm not being antimonian here. If the Lord has truly blessed your soul, you might be in great darkness at the moment, but you'll go to heaven. You will see his face. And his name is in your forehead. Be found in him, not having mine own righteousness and so forth, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Now you may not think, that sounds very heavy going to me, being made conformable to his death. Whatever does that mean? What are you talking about, Paul? Oh, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live. Nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I am crucified with Christ. He says, I am willing to forsake all this, these earthly attractions, this time. Behold the man, my Redeemer, my Lord, my God, my beloved, my friend. Dear Jesus, as thou died for me, why did Jesus show to me the blessings of his face? Because he would love you. Because he would love you. Because you're called by his name. Quickened by his spirit. Thou shalt see my glory soon, when the work of grace is done. Part of my throne shall be. Say, poor sinner, lovest thou me? Yea, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest I love thee. I failed. But my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before the glorious Son of God? My husband, my friend, I'm crucified with Christ. Crucified with Christ in Christ's heart when Jesus died. Now I'm experiencing his cross. Now I am forsaking my own will. Now I am forsaking. John Rosie's got to forsake John Rosie's will, isn't he? Let's be straight. The things that attract the flesh to be put away. crucified with Christ, crucified with Christ. Grace will do it. You'll sing in heaven one day to endless bliss. Crown him, Lord of all. What love to bring me, what love to bring this worm to thy dear feet, to hear his voice, to know him, to long for him. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh that's in my body, like we are all here, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me, living by faith upon him. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. So, dear friends, it has an effect on you. If Christ is yours, you will be brought to be taking up the cross. Jesus so often said, concerning to his disciples, taking up the cross and following him. Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, brethren, sisters, father, mother, wife, children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, lands, with persecutions, he adds, and in the world to come, eternal life. Come, follow me, follow me. A crucified yet risen Lord. Gloriously precious. You know, when we speak of Christ's offering forever, what does it mean? Yes, in its effects and its grace forever, but it's still, as it were, a sweet savour to God, the Father. Christ's sacrifice, Christ's death, is still a sweet savour to be pleaded at the throne of grace. Even now, today. Sinner pleaded. It's a sweet savour, sweet offering to God. It pleases the Father well. It's a living sacrifice, you see. A living sacrifice. And living souls will live upon the living sacrifice. Because he triumphed over death. Ever remember this. He put away sin by dying, but triumphed as his resurrection over all the powers of darkness, death and hell. And now, dear soul, if you're crucified with Christ and you're taking up your cross now daily to follow him, willingly being made willing, of course, by grace, is not natural to us. Made willing by grace and love, drawn by love. You'll one day be with him. The exalted, risen Lord, living now, today, even whatever the today's date is, the 12th, I think it's the 12th of November, upon his one offering and upon his resurrection. Because it's a very precious word that has been to me over the years. Because I live, ye shall live also. There's a reality there, you know. Is Christ, the Son of God, a living King, High Priest, to you? Is he a living Saviour? And you will live also if you live upon him by faith. Well, Paul here was determined not to know anything among them save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Well, as we consider this, the Corinthians need this again. So do you. Although the blessing stands that you've had, yet you need it afresh. Dear friend, you know, it's not just the manna, it's the love of God that provided the manna. And Jesus said he was the manna, the bread from heaven. We have a hymn I can't get hold of it. What object's this which meets my eyes without Jerusalem's gate, which fills my mind with such surprise as wonder to create? What can it be? Who can it be that groans beneath a cross of massy wood, whose soul's overwhelmed in pains of death and body bathed in blood? Is this the man? Can this be he the prophets have foretold should with transgressors numbered be, and for their crimes be sold? The crimes that I have done. Yes, now I know 'tis he, 'tis he. 'Tis Jesus, God's dear Son, wrapped in humanity to die for crimes that I had done. O blessed sight, O lovely form, to sinful souls like me, I creep beside him as a worm and see him bleed for me. I'd hear his groans and view each wound until with happy John on his breast a place have found sweetly to rest upon. For I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. This was the sanctification. This is the redemption that we read over the end of the first chapter. Now, if we're crucified with him, says Paul to Timothy, we shall suffer with him. And this is the trial of your faith, the fight of faith within. This is what Paul says, for I am crucified with him, and nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And now he's living upon the faith of the Son of God in the tribulation, in the coming down, to be with him in glory. Friend, as he went through the river of death, so you will follow him through the river of death. But when they went to the promised land, they abode at Shittim all that time. And then they came, Jordan stayed for whatever it is, 20 miles up the water built up. Up the valley, and they went across completely on dry ground. The ark in the midst, Christ in the midst. How does it stand with us this morning? Well, I will leave the word. Thou shalt see my glory soon, when the work of grace is done. Part of my throne shalt be. Say, poor sinner, lovest thou me? Is your soul drawn to Jesus, crucified, risen, exalted, bearing your sins away? May our hearts be broken. May we weep. May we be true mourners over our sins and after him. May his sufferings and agonies for me personally, become my meat day and night. Or that I might live upon him. What's religion without that then? It's nothing, is it? Or to come to the dear Redeemer's feet, to live upon his dying love, and you're living upon it, upon his resurrecting love and power and grace. He's risen. He's risen. And that's when he was preached. And that's when he's made precious, because he's risen triumphant over sin for the church. For I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified.
The collections last Lord's Day amounted to £740, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Hadley is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, after which there'll be a collection for the TBS. Mr. Tim Rosier is expected to preach next Lord's Day, and there will also be a prayer meeting for church members on Friday. And one little reminder, would you kindly send your magazine orders, please? Let us close with hymn number 23. A man there is, a real man, with wounds still gaping wide, from which rich streams of blood once ran, in hands and feet and side. 23.
And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost, abide with us each, now, forever. Amen.